SFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. And we're at Facebook.com/RadioCafeMC. And I would like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Linda Siegel. She is here with our first legislative update of the 60-day legislative session. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So, the session has just started this week, and as we talked about in our legislative preview a few days ago, there have been some changes due in part to the fact that we have a Republican majority instead of a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. What are we looking at?
Yes, well, it's pretty interesting because the Republican majority is coming in with a different agenda than perhaps the Democrats would like. There's economic development, there's the continual effort to repeal the immigrant driver's license, there's getting the right to work bill passed, and so they've reconstructed the House committees to sort of follow along those lines. And this is very different, you know, for 60 years the Democrats have been in control, and over the years, different committees have been added, but what happened yesterday was that they had a vote on the floor of the House, which all of the Democrats opposed, and so it was a very protracted vote because it took about 2.5 hours of debate. But they combined committees, they created new committees, and so it's a whole new approach to how we're going to hear bills and who's going to hear bills.
Say more about that. What do you mean, like,
well,
they combined committees?
Okay, like there used to be an agriculture committee. Now there's an agriculture, water, and wildlife committee. And there's still a health committee. But now what they did was they got rid of the labor committee because, of course, we don't want to talk about employees. We want to talk about business. And in place of the labor committee now is a business and employment committee. And they got rid of voters and elections, which was a committee that dealt with all election bills and issues around voting, and changed it to a government election and industry committee, I think.
Government? Wait. That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, oh no, it's Indian Affairs. Government election and Indian Affairs. I couldn't read my own writing.
Okay.
So what, and the only reason they put election into that committee is because some of the Democrats really objected and said, we have to have a committee that's specifically designated to deal with these election issues.
So what does this mean? I mean, what are the agendas behind these things? I mean, let's just talk about them one committee
mm-hmm.
at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the agenda behind the eliminating the elections committee, but now putting election issues into this other committee. There have been bills for years to do voter ID.
Right.
So that you have to have a driver's license or you have to have an official piece of documentation with your picture on it.
Right.
And, of course, the Democrats have objected to that over the years. So that is also on the agenda, is to pass a voter ID bill so that everyone who goes to vote has to show identification. And the problems that we've heard, you know, a lot of older people don't have IDs anymore because
a lot of
they
Democrats
don't
have IDs is really what it boils down to.
That's probably true, yes. Sometimes poor people don't have IDs. You know, it costs money to get an ID.
Right.
And I know these bills they're already introduced. Some of them are milder than others, and that will go through the process, and we'll see what happens.
So let's talk about some of those other committees that you mentioned.
Okay, the Regulatory and Public Affairs Committee. Well, we've really never had a committee that was specifically tasked with dealing with regulatory issues, and I'm curious to see what that's going to be. We've always had a Public Affairs Committee, and lots of bills related to changes in different laws often go to that committee before they go to the Judiciary Committee. And, of course, they still have a Judiciary Committee. The another change is the creation of a Safety and Civic Affairs Committee. Now, I really don't know what that's going to be about, but I guess bills related to safety will be going there. Maybe corrections bills, police officer bills. I don't know. It's going to be interesting now to see how the Speaker of the House, and the Speaker of the House is the person responsible for saying that this bill goes to this committee. And generally, bills get two committee assignments, as we've always talked about in the past.
So we have, I mean, it's an interesting situation, because when one party has been in power for a long time and the other one hasn't, of course you want to come and remake the state or remake
Absolutely.
The legislature in your image.
Yeah.
There is this kind of rhetoric about reaching across the aisle. It's a metaphor of brotherhood or whatever that we sometimes see but usually don't, particularly, I mean, to be honest, from the Republicans toward the Democrats. Usually when that happens on a federal level, for example, the idea is to crush every Democratic idea rather than to really work together. There hasn't been a lot of working together for a long time.
That's true. I think we've become more and more partisan over the years. I think that Congress particularly used to work together a little more. It certainly hasn't under the Obama administration, and probably not so much under the Bush administration. In New Mexico, you know, the political parties have agendas. The Democrats have their agenda. The pro-choice, the pro-gay, the pro-labor, and now
clean environment.
I mean, Republicans would disagree, but the creation of an Ag, Water, and Wildlife Committee, I think we've talked about in the past, there are often bills that address wildlife on private land, and do you get to kill them, and things like that. And they're very controversial issues for the agricultural community versus the urban community.
Right.
And now we have a committee that's specifically tasked with dealing with wildlife. I find that fascinating.
It is, I mean, basically, it sounds, ladies and gentlemen, probably like an anti-wildlife agenda.
I think maybe so.
And I've been doing a series, and it's going to continue, it's been running on Mondays, on rural people, ranchers and farmers, who are doing wildlife-friendly ranching and farming,
mm-hmm.
which it turns out not only exists, but mm-hmm. tends to be more economically viable.
Mm-hmm.
And there are farmers and ranchers who are actually diversifying their businesses to include hunting and
uh-huh.
things that actually involve wild and fishing and things that involve wildlife being there.
Right.
So there's a lot of perspectives that besides the urban versus rural.
Right, right. I agree. But it's often comes down to that in these committee hearings. The cockfighting bills, the killing the coyotes bills, those roundups of coyotes. There are bills all that really pit certain groups of people against each other.
So what are we looking at in the Senate? Have you been over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Senate, of course, hasn't changed very much because there was only the transition of Tim Keller, who became the auditor, who had been the Senate whip. And his seat, he was replaced by Representative Mimi Stewart, who got appointed by the county commission in Bernalillo to be the new senator. So the transition that took place there, she came into the Senate, and then Michael Padilla, who is a Democrat from the South Valley of Albuquerque, he became the new Senate whip. So there really hasn't been much change there. The committees are all the same, except for now the committees that Mimi Stewart is now on, the Corporations Committee and the Public Affairs Committee. So things will be operating as they have in the past. At least that's what everybody's saying.
So when you have these two chambers with whose majorities have decidedly different agendas and ideas, what are the chances? I mean, you talked a few days ago about how there's a lot of bills that do get passed that are nonpartisan, mm-hmm. like updating the regulations for occupational therapists. I mean, these are healthcare providers. These are not partisan issues. They have to do with sensible updating of rules. Fine. Mm-hmm. When you get beyond that, how can anything get passed?
Well, I think there may be some gridlock happening. I think we know that a lot of bills are going to pass out of the House that have never passed out of the House because the Democratic majority has kept them from passing. And then they'll go to the Senate, where if the Senate sticks to its rules, and when I say its rules, the rules are that bills go through committees. If a committee tables a bill, then that bill is dead. Now, about 10 years ago, the Senate was notorious for blasting bills out of committee. I think we've talked about that. And that's where you have a bill that got tabled in committee because a majority of people did not like the bill, and so it was dead in the committee. And a blast occurs when a majority of the senators on the floor of the chamber decide they want to take that bill out of the committee and bring it down and put it on the calendar for the Senate.
Who gets to do that?
Anybody can make the motion, and then if there are enough people who vote for it, that bill can be blasted out of a committee.
A few years ago, somehow Governor Martinez was involved, and I don't know exactly how that works because she's executive branch and this is legislative branch, but she somehow got the tabled driver's license repeal blasted out of committee, and mm-hmm. it still failed.
Yeah.
But it was considered sort of a power play.
Right, and that was in the House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives had a history of never blasting bills out of committee.
Ah, okay.
But enough of the Republicans and a handful of Democrats voted to pull that bill out of committee.
Is blast the official term?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we're looking at some potential blasting.
Yeah, no, it's not the official term. It's, you know, you pull the bill out of committee and bring it down to the calendar of whatever chamber it is.
Right.
But blast is so much more, you know, active.
Visual, yes.
Yes.
All right. So what else are we looking at, and what else have you been checking out at the legislature? I mean, it's the first week, and notoriously the first week nothing much happens.
Right.
And in the eighth week people are scrambling and staying up all night, which, did I tell you this story already? That apparently I heard that Bill Clinton said to Barack Obama when giving him advice on being president of the United States, that his most important piece of advice was get your sleep, because the biggest mistakes that he had made were when he was sleep deprived.
I had never heard that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's apocryphal. I don't have the footnote for it, but I was reading that not too long ago, and the last week of the New Mexico legislative session tends to be a...
Oh, absolutely. Even sometimes in the last 2 weeks when people are eating terrible food, eating junk food all the time because, you know, you're stressed out and not getting enough sleep, and yet making decisions on the most number of bills, because that's when all the bills are passing through.
That affect the most numbers of lives.
Well, of course. Yes.
It would be interesting to have somebody eating GMO junk food while voting on a GMO labeling bill.
Well, as you know, in a typical legislative session, the first week, not much happens. You said that. And in fact, they're not even there today, Fridays. They always take Friday off of the first week, and everybody goes home for their last weekend home, or some people stay here. But this was a particularly slow start to a session, because normally after the first day, the next 2 days are spent introducing bills, introducing legislation, getting them assigned numbers and assigned to committees. And very little of that has happened because they've been working on it, particularly in the House. They've been working on trying to create and pass the new rules that allow the creation of these different committees.
Now, is there such a thing as a filibuster on a state level?
Well, yes, absolutely. In the Senate, there is no limit on the time for a filibuster. So in the past, it hasn't happened very much recently, there would be 5, 6, 7 hour filibusters by we always knew which legislators, which senators were going to do that when they decided they wanted to shut down the movement of bills in the Senate. So a filibuster there can go on for as long as people can keep talking. In the House, there's a 3 hour limit on debate.
Ah.
So once the 3 hours is up, then it doesn't matter if more people want to talk, the debate is over and they have the vote.
Very interesting. Do we know why the history of why the two houses have different cultures and sort of rules like that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that House members are elected every 2 years and Senate members in New Mexico are elected every 4 years. And so there's this kind of hierarchy, you know, the senators are... We're more deliberative.
Yeah, deliberative.
And we, you know, we don't have to run for election as frequently is really the main difference. But it's that way in Congress, too. You know, you have the House who are, like, more seen as the people's representatives and the senators who originally were appointed.
Right, that's right.
You didn't even vote for them. And, of course, they have 6-year terms.
Now, it seems like something that really should be a bipartisan issue is education. Everybody wants our young people to be educated and go on to have prosperous lives.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking at on both sides of the debate here?
Well, again, everybody does support education, but it's just how they support it. The hot issues this year, again, as we talked about on Wednesday, there isn't much money, if any, new money. So expanding public education, expanding any of our funded programs is going to be very difficult. And so often in the education issue, it's about above the line and below the line. And what that means, we spend about 48% of the total state budget of over $6 billion on education. And most of that money goes into what's called the SEG, the State Equalization Guarantee. And that is the amount of money that a school district gets per child.
Right.
So everybody, all the school districts like the money to be above the line. So they make the amount of money that goes per child bigger.
Right.
But the administration likes to put things below the line that are like special projects, incentive projects, like merit pay, like money for different programs that the governor supports. So the battle this year, again, is going to be above the line, below the line, with whatever new money exists. And then, of course, we have the third grade retention issue, which has been quite controversial for the last 4 years. A lot of the school districts believe that they should decide when a child should be retained or not. They, along with the parents, should decide when a child should be retained based upon what's happening. And there is a problem. A lot of our kids can't read.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do to provide supports in the schools for extra mentoring, extra time after school, extra reading classes? What do we need to do so that they can read? And that will be another hot issue, which has been introduced for 4 years, every year since the governor's been in.
Has anybody done a study where they go to 100 first grade classes and watch what's happening there? I mean, no matter how much we talk about it, no matter how much we discuss the problems, and I guess if kids are hungry or if their parents are abusing each other and that kind of thing, it's hard to learn to read. But having gone to public school where every single person learned to read in the first grade,
mm-hmm.
it's a little hard to conceive of what's going on.
I mean, there are studies all the time. There are the other controversial issue is testing. I noticed there's some bills already about limiting the number of tests that can be given in the schools. And, of course, a lot of those tests are federally mandated. But, yes, there are all kinds of studies about the things that impact a child's ability to learn. And if you're homeless, we have thousands of kids in New Mexico who are homeless, so they might be staying in the car with their parents or in a shelter with their parents. I mean, how easy is it for them going to be to read? And right. domestic abuse and poverty and
right. So third, whether or not they pass the third grade isn't really going to affect their circumstances.
Right.
And it's, yeah, every issue affects every other issue. Yeah.
It's not, there isn't one solution. Retaining somebody is not the solution. Not retaining them is probably not the solution. It's complicated. And
right.
we'd like everything to be simpler.
On that note, we'll see you next Friday.
All right. Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday for the legislative update. We're going to take a break, and Diana Delling will be with us for a few minutes, speaking of the arts. Please stay tuned.